Welcome you all in the Lord's name this morning, and trust the Lord will bless our coming together. Could I especially welcome Reverend David McMillan from our Armagh Church. He's here on behalf of our mission board to speak about the missionary work in Uganda, so he'll be sharing with us about that later in our service this morning. Just re-emphasising the restrictions and social distancing while entering and exiting the building, while in the building. Let's not drop our guard. Offering baskets as you leave this morning, special offering for Uganda. There'll be separate baskets for this as you leave. You can see them as you leave this morning, and put your offerings in for Uganda into those baskets. If you haven't come prepared, you can put it another time, of course, and you can indicate it's for Uganda. Now, remember to pray in our homes this afternoon and to seek the Lord for his blessing, even upon the work of God in these challenging days in which we live. The importance of prayer cannot be underemphasized, and we need to pray and seek God for help and for the Lord to intervene in these times. Now, the doors will be open about 6:15 tonight, because we're starting our pre-church prayer meeting again. This has been something very missly, of course. We're going to the youth room right at the end of the corridor. I know it'll not suit everybody to get up there, but do please remember that prayer meeting, and if you can get there tonight. It's just from 6:20 to 6:45, giving time to get down into the hall for the evening service. It's our Missionary Sunday. Mr. and Mrs. Simon Snodgrass will be here tonight. They'll be speaking about their call to children's work in Scotland, where they have been called of God to work among boys and girls with CEF. So remember that, please. They're from our Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. Our sister, Mrs. Carla Hunter, was to sing, but she pulled her back, so she'll be unable to be with us tonight. Again, there'll be separate baskets at the exits for their support tonight. Wednesday is the Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. Survey of the New Testament continued. We're in the church hall now for the midweek prayer meeting, and it's well spaced out, so you can join us there if you're able to do so. Friday night, our presbytery meeting. From now on, presbyteries will be held in Martyrs until, of course, these restrictions lift. It's easier for social distancing and so forth there. That's 8 o'clock on Friday night. All other church meetings and activities are kept under constant review. Please keep that in mind. Next Lord's Day, we're continuing in the church, 11:30, and the gospel service at 7. I will be here, God willing, to bring the word at both services. Could I mention also the 11th of October is our harvest services. This year we'll not be having the Monday night. The session have decided, because of the restrictions, we normally have a choir, which we did have booked, and a preacher from down the country, so we're not doing that on the Monday night. We're just having the Lord's Day for the harvest this year. Trust you'll understand. Again, we're not having a widespread decoration because of gathering people and doing all that, so we are just having a very basic decoration, so please, you'll understand that again, and if you want to put what you'd normally put towards that into the harvest collection. There'll be no building fund next Lord's Day. We'll keep it to the harvest. We always have a special building fund harvest Sunday, so keep that in mind. Reverend Nathan McVeigh will be the preacher at the harvest Sunday morning. In the evening time, Reverend Julian Patterson Ballymagurney will be the preacher. Do remember these services in your prayers. Remember those who are going through various procedures this week, keep your them in your prayers. I'm going to mention them because some may not want their name mentioned, and others are happy enough, but I won't leave anyone out. So do remember these people that need our prayers tomorrow, Tuesday and Saturday. Particularly keep those folk in mind. And there is a special request from our sister Eileen McDowell. Her granddaughter seriously ill with very serious complaint, just 15 years of age, has to go through chemotherapy starting tomorrow, and then possibly radiotherapy following this. So please remember this girl. Her name's Alice, and the family would really appreciate your prayers for her. And do keep that in mind, please. Seek the Lord for Alice at this time. And remember Eileen, her son, and all the family in these times. Our sister Mary McFadden also was taken in just during the night there in the hospital. Do you remember Mary? We just haven't got an update of how she is as yet, but she's in hospital at present. Please remember that. Now, the annual report for 2019 should be at the doors this morning as you leave. You can pick it up there. Sorry about the lateness of this, but with the COVID, everything has been put back, and sure, you'll appreciate the difficulties we've had this year in getting anything done and getting things moving as far as the church is concerned. But let us keep in prayer for the Lord's blessing on his work. And we're going to come to the Lord in prayer and seek the Lord's face this morning. Let us call upon the Lord's name. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we seek thy face for thy blessing, even upon us in these days. And we look around us and look, many people are trembling and filled with fear. But Lord, we thank thee that we trust in God. That Lord, thou hast told us, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And Lord, we thank thee that thou hast promised to help us. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to rest in the Lord and to wait patiently for him. And O God, to cast ourselves upon the Lord, even in these days, that the blessing of God might be upon us, that there might be a visitation of God upon your work, that there might be a move of God in these days. Lord, we pray that you'll rid us even in our hearts of that complacency and carelessness that can so easily creep in. We pray, O God, that you'll deliver us from this. And we pray, Father, that you would help us, O God, to be much in prayer. And even those who cannot get out, it's humanly possible, impossible for them to be with us today because of their situation. We pray that thou wilt meet their needs. And, O God, that thou wilt encourage thy people. Remember those in our congregation who are going through various procedures this week. We pray that thou wilt be with them, that thou wilt bless them, that, Lord, they may know the presence of God and the help of God, even at this time. We pray, Father, that you would draw near and give that grace and that help even at this time. Lord, we lift our hearts to thee. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst remember thy work, not only here in Northern Ireland, but across the world. As we focus this morning on the work in Uganda, we pray for thy servant who has come into our midst, that thou wilt fill him with the Holy Spirit, that thou wilt use him, that he might be a new sharp fishing instrument in thine hand, to the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan. Grant that this morning the challenge of thy word will come to our hearts. And grant that there'll be a building up of thy people in their most holy faith at this time. Draw us ever closer to thy wounded side, we pray. Grant that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of thy glory and grace. Lord, we look to thee to answer prayer. We cry to thee, O God, for a visitation upon the land, upon the world. Lord, we thank thee even for that man, the Vice President of America, who called the people to pray and was backed up by the President of the United States, calling the people of the nation to pray. Lord, we pray that we might see that among our own leaders. We pray that we might see it in our own nation. Lord, where there has been silence on this issue, we ask of thee that thou wouldst turn the hearts of our leaders to the Lord and grant that there might be a breath of God come across our nation and across our land at this time. We pray, Father, that you'd remember especially Eileen's granddaughter. We pray, Father, for thy touch upon her. Lord, we pray for healing for Alice at this time. Remember the situation, even tomorrow. And, O God, for these other folk too, we pray that thou wouldst remember them this week. And others that we've been asked to pray for, even outside our congregation, but connected even through the families. We pray, Father, that you'll remember each one this morning. Lord, we lift them up to thee. We pray for thine intervention in every case, that thou wilt answer prayer. We pray for the bereaved this morning, that thou wilt minister to them at this time. Remember Mary too, even this morning. We pray for thy touch upon her, that all will be well with her. She'll be able to be home from hospital again in the hours that lie ahead. We commend all today who need thy touch and who need thy blessing. Give grace and help that is sufficient. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. And we're keeping seated and just hearing the hymn being played. There's a call comes ringing, or the restless waves send the light. We're not singing this hymn. We will sing a couple of verses of a hymn at the end, just remaining seated then, but we're not singing this one. But let's hear Robert play the verses of this hymn through. Thank you. Boys and girls, last week we talked about washing your hands. Now we're on to a deep clean, boys and girls. Well, maybe you think, well, my room needs a deep clean. My room needs a deep clean. Well, maybe it does. I don't know about that. Maybe your mummy or daddy could say whether it needs a deep clean or not. A deep clean, well, you hear all these terms that are used today about the situation that we find ourselves in. But boys and girls, we all need a deep clean, because we have got something called sin in our hearts. Sin, boys and girls, a little three-letter word, but yet it affects us all. Sin, sin corrupts us, boys and girls, and turns us away from God. In fact, it causes us to be at a distance from God. Sin causes us to be at a distance from God. And so we need this deep clean. Now, maybe if I went to your house, I would find all sorts of cleaning materials. Maybe you've been to Home Bargains or some of those stores, and you've stocked up on all the cleaning materials. These people must be making a fortune at the minute, because there's all sorts of cleaning materials, from
A to a Z. And boys and girls, people are cleaning and cleaning and re-cleaning. A deep clean. But boys and girls, how do we get the sin away? Can any of these materials that you buy in Home Bargains or Tesco's or somewhere else, can they do anything for sin? No, boys and girls, they can do nothing. But there's something that can. It's the blood. You see, it's the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross for our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just some sins, boys and girls. Not just most sins, but all sin. And so this morning, boys and girls, if you want a deep clean, then you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your trust in Him and take Him as your Savior this morning. And then your sin will be all taken away. Sin will be removed and you will be a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do that this morning, boys and girls? I pray that you will, and that the Lord's blessing will be upon you, boys and girls, this morning. We're delighted to have Reverend McMillan. Now, I haven't fallen out with him. It's just people may say, and people have said this, you're too close to him. And then I saw them standing outside and they were right up against somebody. So you can't win with this, you see. You can't win. And people are looking and saying, you were too close to him, Mr. Smiley. Well, we're more than 2 meters away. So our brother's very welcome. He doesn't come from very far, from Ballygowan. And he's going to speak to us about Uganda this morning. So we'll hand over to Reverend McMillan at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. I appreciate the kind words of welcome. And it's always a joy to come to Ballygowan. I'm going to ask you to turn in the scriptures to Mark chapter 10. I'm just going to read a short portion there to begin with, just to guide your thoughts and emphasize what we're going to speak about. So it's Mark chapter 10 and the 13th verse. Mark 10 verse 13. The scriptures tell us, and they brought young children to him, that's to the Savior, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And we know the Lord will bless this, the public reading of his word to our hearts today. Very thankful for the opportunity to be with you at this Sabbath morning service as part of your Missionary Sunday. We did have the Snodgrasses at our midweek service just a couple of weeks ago, and they were a great blessing, went down very well with our people. So we know that you'll enjoy hearing them tell of the Lord's leading in their life tonight. I'm here on behalf of our mission board to represent Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda. It's a work that's very dear to our heart. Just to emphasize that the missionary work of our denomination is developing, growing and expanding, so much so that the mission board now has three subcommittees just to help oversee various departments of the work and help just to manage all that's going on. There's so many departments to be dealing with, areas to be looking at, decisions to be made, that there was too much to bring into the mission board meetings themselves. So there is a subcommittee for Kenya. The Reverend Harris, who was a missionary in Kenya, chairs that subcommittee, and he's well fitted for that job. The newest subcommittee is for Asia, particularly thinking of the work in Nepal and also in India and quite recently in Pakistan, openings that we have there and contacts that have been made. Some of the mission board members on a Sabbath morning are addressing little congregations and Sunday schools out there online. That's a ministry that's opening up to us as well. So Reverend Park chairs, he's the secretary of the board, the chairman of the Missionary Council, and he chairs that subcommittee for Asia. There is a subcommittee for Uganda. George McConnell and I were the first from the board to go out to Uganda, and in the light of that, the board felt that I was best suited to chair the subcommittee for that work. So I'm here as the chairman of what is known as the Ugandan Oversight Subcommittee, or UOS, as it's generally abbreviated to. We have undertaken to raise the money for the running of the school. Sometimes we're asked the question, why is the mission board doing deputations for Uganda when the missionaries go round themselves? And you will have the fosters coming round in the will of the Lord a little later in the winter time. So we're always sometimes asked that question. Why does the board do separate deputations? And the reason for that is that the board has undertaken to raise the running costs of the school from year to year. So that's quite substantial. It's quite a burden, and we'll tell you just a little bit about that in the presentation this morning. I'd like to emphasise, I'd like to encourage you all, take time to read. How important that is. Perhaps you've had more time in recent months with the events that have befallen us. So I'd encourage you, it's a very wise way to spend your time. When we were in South Wales, one of the schools that I went into had a reading programme for the children. They called the reading programme Dear. You know, just the way you would address your wife there when you're looking the tea and the dinner, Dear, D-E-A-R. Well, it stood for Drop Everything and Read. And that's what they were encouraging the children to do. They thought they were spending too much time on the computer games, the television and so on. So they wanted them every day to drop everything, whatever they were doing, and spend at least 15 or 20 minutes in reading. And that can be very profitable. So I want to encourage you to adopt that into your daily routine. Drop everything and read. And I would encourage you, read the great biographies of the men of God of past times. It'll thrill and challenge and stir your heart to do a greater work, to use your time more in the service of the Master. The three great pioneer missionaries for Uganda of the 19th century were James Hannington. He was martyred for the Lord by Mwanga, the King of Buganda. That took place, it'll be actually 135 years ago, on the 29th of October, in just a few weeks' time. George Pilkington came from Southern Ireland. He was largely responsible for translating the scriptures into the national language of the people, Lugandan. It's not the only language in Uganda, but it's one of the main languages there. But the man I want to emphasise especially is Alexander Mackay. Alexander Murdoch Mackay came from Aberdeenshire in Scotland. He was a brilliant young man, had the opportunity of a very lucrative career as an engineer, worked for a time in Berlin in Germany, but he surrendered his life to be a missionary of the cross. Maybe somebody in this meeting today, the Lord's speaking to you, challenging you about full-time service. He gave his life to the Lord because of an appeal. Henry Morton Stanley, remember Stanley was the journalist that found Livingstone in Africa. He came back from Uganda with an appeal from Mutesa. Mutesa was Mwanga's father, the previous king of Uganda. And this is what he said. The Ugandan king said, Uganda wants missionaries. And that's still true today, men and women. We need missionaries still in Uganda. And it was as a response to that appeal that Alexander Murdoch Mackay surrendered his life through the Church Missionary Society in England. Henry Morton Stanley said when he heard that Mackay had died that he was the greatest missionary the Church had known since David Livingstone. So what a recommendation, or what an epitaph that is. Mackay said that his heart burned for the deliverance of Africa. Can you feel the burden, the passion that he had? His heart burned for the deliverance of Africa. The Ugandans gave him a name, Muzunga wa Kazi. It meant the white man of work. That they were amazed at the amount of work that he was able to get through from day to day and week for week. He was a man that was dedicated and sold out for God. He died of malaria. Malaria still, next to AIDS, it's still the biggest killer in Africa. And he died at just 40 years of age, took malaria, and within 4 days passed into the presence of the Saviour. What a warning that is to us all, men and women, of how short, how very short our time is. Not long before he died, he wrote a paper, a little document about missionary work. It turned out to be the last paper that he ever penned. And it was on this vital subject: how is Africa to be evangelized? It's not a very important question, men and women. Africa as a continent has some 54 nations, a few other dependencies, a population of 1.3 billion. We used to sing the chorus, "Untold millions are still untold." We could revise that a little today, because untold billions are still untold. Asia is the biggest continent. You think of our Asia subcommittee. There's something like 4.5 billion people now in the great continent of Asia. If you think of Uganda, if we were talking about how is Africa to be evangelized, let's ask, how is Uganda to be evangelized? Over 42 million people. Half of that population, men and women, 50% of it, are 14 and under. Uganda has one of the youngest populations anywhere on the face of the earth. About 2.5 million children in Uganda are orphans, most of them orphaned because of AIDS. So you think of that great question tonight, or this morning. May it touch your heart, may it challenge your heart, may it even break your heart today. How is Africa to be evangelized? How is Uganda to be evangelized? Well, one of the answers, men and women, is through the evangelization of the children. And that's what we're seeking to do at Emmanuel Christian School. It's a vital work. We've been reading here about they brought young children to him. And that's what we're seeking to do there at Emmanuel Christian School. Seeking to bring the children of that land and of that community especially to Christ. Do you remember the story of Naaman? Naaman the leper. And it was a young maid in his household that was instrumental in his healing. And I'm sure that story was well known throughout Syria in those days. And it's an illustration for us that God can use the children. God can use the young people. So that's why we see the work among the children there in Uganda as vital to the whole evangelization of the nation. You know, whenever Mackay wrote that document, how is Africa to be evangelized? He only had written the half of it. He intended to write the second part to complete it at a later time. But because of his unexpected death, that never happened. What he wrote across the bottom of the first part was to be continued. The work is to be continued, men and women. And we're continuing that work. A work that he was involved in many ways, a work that he commenced. Did you know that there is such a thing as the unfinished work of Christ? When we preach the gospel, we talk about his finished work, his redemptive work that he finished on the cross. But there is such a thing as the unfinished work of Christ. And that's the Great Commission, taking the gospel to the very ends of the earth. In the book of Acts, it opens, in the opening verses, there's these words. It tells us of all that Jesus began, both to do and to teach. So there's a work that the Saviour commenced, a work that he only began when he was here upon this earth. And that work is to be carried on, men and women, by succeeding generations of the Church of Jesus Christ until the Saviour comes again. So that's what we're seeking to do. As a mission board in various places, I'm emphasising to you today the work of the school in Uganda. And I want to stress this. We need your help as a congregation in that work. We need the help of all our churches. We need the support and the help of all of the members of our churches. The work is so vast and so great. We're not able to carry this work on of ourselves. We need your support. So we're here today to make an appeal for that support. Prayerful support. We need the prayers of the Lord's people. We need your practical support as well. And we'll tell you just a little bit of how you can help us in that way also. So I want to tell you something about the school in Uganda. The picture you see there lets you see it just from a little way across the country. We have the Ugandan flag. Along the bottom it says the Ministry of the Free Presbyterian Mission Society, Africa. That's the name that we operate under there in the great continent of Africa. Just to remind you, Uganda is in East Africa, just on the shores of the great Lake Victoria. Can I remind you just of our missionary team? Miss Noreen McAfee, now a veteran of over 20 years, labouring for the Lord in Africa. Firstly, 17 years in Kenya, the last 3.5 or so in Uganda. In the summertime, she marked the 20th anniversary of her missionary labours in Africa. So just to highlight that for you, at the present time, she's the only missionary that we have on the field in Uganda because the Fosters are now home on furlough. So do remember Noreen there on her own. She has quite a responsibility. We view her as the principal of the school, the overall school, all the departments. She's like the overall manager there of all that is going on. Andy and Hannah Foster. Andy's from the neighbouring church here in Cumber. His wife is Dutch. They met at Bible College, the New Tribes Bible College in England. We're very thankful for the personnel the Lord has raised up and two talented young people that have been a great help to us. They're now home on furlough. They came home just over 2 weeks ago. They had visited Hannah's family in Holland, first of all. Because of the restrictions, Holland's on the list, so they had to self-isolate for 2 weeks. So they're enjoying their freedom now from this weekend. Mrs. Foster's expecting and is due to give birth while they're home on furlough sometime in November. So keep that in mind as well. You can see our sister Noreen in the assembly with all the boys and girls. Mrs. Foster helps us in the office with the accounts and an OVC program that we have, Orphan and Vulnerable Children. And you can see Mr. Foster in his workshop. And emphasise it's been quite considerable, quite amazing, the amount of work that has been done both in the school and on the facilities of the school, even over the last 3 years or so. I said to you, I emphasised the message Henry Morton Stanley brought back those many years ago. Uganda needs missionaries, and we need missionaries. We need a man, especially at this present time. There's a vacancy in the pulpit there. There's the Emmanuel Church also. And there's so many possibilities, so many other outreaches that we could be leading on to, pressing forward with, if we had a man that could undertake that work for us. So please take that matter upon your heart. The Saviour said the way that we address the lack of labourers is we pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest. So that's a great prayer request we leave with you this morning. You see the flag of Uganda, the bird is the national bird, the grey-crowned crane. You can see it's got its left leg raised. The reason for that was when they designed that flag, they wanted the rest of the world to know that Uganda was a progressive nation. As a nation, it was going forward. So I want to emphasise to you this morning that the work in Emmanuel Christian School and Emmanuel Church is going forward for the Lord as well. This is the notice board that we have outside the school, just on the edge of the road. That's an aerial view taken by a drone. It was taken maybe 3.5 years ago, So there have been some changes since. The building that you see with the red roof, that's the church building. It doubles up as an assembly. The building then to the right of it is where the missionary accommodation is. The building to the left is the dorms. And then down the left, that's the girls' dorms. Down the left is mainly primary school. And down the right is where the secondary school meet in the kitchen. And so on is at the bottom. Mr. Foster's workshop is just right up at the top on that right-hand part. And then down at the bottom is where the staff used to have their accommodation. We needed additional facilities for dormitories, so we have moved all the staff off the campus now, and that has now been developed for boys' dormitories down at the bottom. There's also just, if you see the buildings running down the left, not far from there, and I'll show it to you, we have built a new toilet block, and we hope to redevelop the site in the middle in coming years, and we'll talk a wee bit more about that just as we go along. The school was started in 2004 by the Reverend Noel Kelly and his wife Stella. It's really a challenge. It's a story of what two senior citizens can do. They were 62 when they went out to Uganda to start this school and to do this work for God. So at that time there was 16 children. And just before the school closed down at lockdown, we had 393 children enrolled. So we're teaching at all three levels, 112 children in the nursery classes, we have 226 children in the primary classes, and then 55 children in secondary classes. So you can see it's quite an undertaking, 393 children in all. You mightn't be able to see the figures. This is the report that came back from the Education Authority. 2019 P7, the primary leavers exam, we had 19 children that sat it, and 17 of them were in the top two divisions. So we're very encouraged by that. I emphasise that just to underline that we're able, even in the very remote location out there, to deliver a very high standard of education. And don't think for one moment that the Ugandans have a substandard. They are striving to have a very, very high standard of education for their young people as well. We've had to make some developments in the management of the school in order to satisfy the Ugandan education authorities. So we have appointed a new primary school head teacher. We have all Ugandans working at the school. So this is Master Ashaba George. Teachers in schools in Uganda, they're addressed as Master or Madam. So they would address Miss McAfee as Madam. McAfee sounds very nice, doesn't it? So Master, they normally have a Ugandan name and an English name, so Master Ashaba George. And then our secondary school head teacher is Master Semasaka Joseph. So remember these men and the work that they do for us, overseeing those important departments of the school. We have 32 members of staff in total. Now remember, I'm only talking here about Uganda, but we have staff that are on the payroll for the mission board in places like Kenya as well, India also, that we're responsible for. So from year to year, we're responsible for paying the salaries of 32 members of staff at the school there in Uganda. And you can see Miss McAfee in the middle, sitting with most of the staff. Not all teaching staff. Remember that we have some that do work looking after the grounds, security staff, some that work in the kitchens for us as well. So there's a whole range of staff. And this is our social worker with Mrs. Foster, Mr. Augustine. We run an orphan and vulnerable children program. One of the reasons for that is he goes round and visits all the families to ascertain just the needs of the family. We want to help those that are in greatest need. But it also enables us to find out those that are not able to pay school fees. Remember, there's a lot of corruption. People want to deceive you. So we want to know genuinely those that can't pay the school fees so that we can help them. So he does a vital work, Mr. Augustine, for us. We had to establish a school management committee for the primary school and a board of governors for the secondary school. When I was in Mullaghlass, I was chairman of the board of governors of Newry High School, for a number of years. It's quite a story how that came about. I'll not take the time to tell it this morning. But I emphasize it for this reason. I didn't realize maybe then that the Lord was preparing me for another work in years to come, helping with the school there in Uganda. So you don't know what the Lord's bringing you through today. He's maybe preparing you for future service as well. So we have representatives of our Mission Society Africa that sit on these, the School Management Committee, the Board of Governors, members of the board here as well. This is one of the meetings we had last November. You can see our brother, Mr. Barry Stewart, an elder in our Macrafell Church. The young man sitting beside me, between me and Miss McAfee, that's Master Ronald, one of our secondary school teachers. He's a director of our NGO in Uganda. What Ronald's actually doing in that meeting is translating. You think your committee meetings are long? Well, everything that I say in English has to be translated into Lugandan. And everything that they say in Lugandan has to be translated back into English. So you know it talks proverbially about the patience of Job. Well, you really do need the patience of Job. Let me tell you about Speech Day. This is a special end-of-year prize-giving. The school year there runs from February to November. They have the 2 months' holidays in December and January, not in July and August as we do here. So they always end the year with Prize Day. So you can see there's quite a turnout. This is the families, the relatives, all the local folk. It's a great opportunity to bring folk in under the sound of the gospel. The children dress up their mortarboards and their gowns. This is the top class in nursery. They're graduating to go up into to primary school. And then there's prizes given out. The gentleman on the left, that is one of the local district education officers. And a lot of the education people come to these special days at the school. They take a great interest. So he helps in the giving out of the prizes. The Reverend Morris Baxter, one of our retired ministers, was out at the school for a month or so. He and his wife Chrismar did a great work helping to supply the pulpit for us. Chrismar took many of the assemblies, told the children the story of Pilgrim's Progress. But Mr. Baxter had the opportunity to address all of those folks, including the local dignitaries and invited guests, bring a message of the gospel to them. Just to emphasize some of the improvements we've made to the facilities. This was the school kitchen when we took over the school. Some of the older people maybe remember when you went to visit folk years and years ago, the fire, you had a tree trunk or a branch pushed into the fire, and as the end burned off, you pushed it in a wee bit further. You're maybe all too young to remember that. Well, that's what they were doing out there in the kitchen in the Emmanuel Christian School. You can see that the logs just pushed into the fire and they just kept pushing it in. So they really did need new kitchen facilities. So we've been able to help with that. And just to emphasize that many of our churches have taken on various projects, and I'll be able to highlight some of those as we go along. We've been very thankful that they've raised money, and it's very nice then for a church to be able to say, well, we helped make those improvements out there at the school. So the toilets that they had, they didn't have sufficient toilets for all of the children. Those plastic cubicles there behind, there's actually no toilet in them. They don't have toilets. It's just a squat hole. There's a hole in the concrete below you. When we first went out, they thought they need something a wee bit better for these visitors from Northern Ireland. So they made a wooden box for us to sit on. The only problem was when you were sitting on the box, you couldn't get the door closed because your knees were protruding out through the door. It was a wee bit like come and see white man sit on the toilet, you know. So we decided we needed to build them some new toilets. So this was the first phase. Some of you would have attended the barbecues that our brother Paul Haffey ran for us down there at Waringstown over 2 years, and then Barry Stewart ran one down at Macrafeld. Well, the two at Waringstown, half of the money each year came to the school. So the first phase was to sink the tank, and there's a group came out from the Macrafeld Church two occasions, and then this is the second phase, sort of the building of the walls. You maybe recognise some of the people in the picture. So this is the new toilet block. I emphasised to you just in the aerial picture earlier the location of it. So that has been a great asset to us. Another project that we were on was water harvesting. There and now in rainy season, Noreen was telling me, we try to keep in touch with her sister, both by text and by phone, particularly when she's there on her own, the only missionary at present. So she told me about a fortnight ago they had thunder and lightning, very heavy rain. And in all the 20 years she has been in Africa, she had never seen rain like it. So during rainy season, we try to harvest the water. There's a charity down in Portadown, Fields of Life. They helped us with the first two tanks that went in. All of this piping, Mr. Foster has worked very hard and very diligently. Ben Pappy from the Newton Arts Church went out for a little while and assisted him with this work. And then you can see the plastic tanks. The Bell and the Hinge Church undertook to supply six of those at £600 a time. So £3,600, they lifted special offerings and we were indebted to them. So that's the four at the other side. So each of those tanks holds 10,000 litres, about 2,200 gallons. So about 80,000 litres of capacity of water storage to help the school during the dry season. They have two dry seasons. One will come sort of from December through to like February, and then in the summertime, June through maybe July and August. These people look like aliens. See, there was no water supply at the school. They would carry the water from really what was nothing more than a swamp. You would really have to see it to believe it. When you go home today and you're making the dinner, boiling the kettle, and you walk over to the sink and you turn on the tap and the water comes flooding out, spare a thought for those children, those young people, those families. There's very few houses in that community that know anything like running water. They carry the water. That's one of the chores the children have. So we undertook to sink a bore well at the school. The manhole, the well's about 40 metres down below that. The little hut has got a generator. Remember, we've no electric, so that goes 10 hours a day when school is in to pump the water for us up to the tanks that you see. And the picture on the bottom right, that's the water tap. And there might only be about two of them for everyone on the entire school. The missionary accommodation, we had to make some provision for all of our missionaries. You can see our brother Eric Graham from Lisburn on the left of the picture. He did a considerable amount of work in helping improve these facilities. This is what the buildings looked like when we took over the school. So there's been a lot of work, just to give you some idea. The kitchen, the transformations that have been made over the last number of years, just to help our missionaries to be settled and comfortable in the environment there. There was no electric in the school. When we first went out in 2014, the nearest electric was 3 miles away. And to get the electric installed, it was sort of crazy money that they were, the figures they were quoting to us. So we got some solar power installed. Andrew Graham's parents belonged to the Antrim Church. Andrew went out a couple of times and installed the solar system for us. The batteries on the left are the old ones. They needed topped up from time to time with special water. The ones now on the right that we're using are sealed batteries. But then in the providence of God last year, the Ugandan authorities brought the electric right into the community. Real answer to prayer. You can see the poles are coming right down past the main gates of the school. So we're getting the electric installed. This is the transformer. Been set over the wall, set into place. Mr. Foster prepared a special little corner for it. UNEMI is what you call the Ugandan Electric Board. So this is some of their men connecting up the power from the poles down into the school. This is a team that went out, put together by Kyle Wenlock from the Macrofelt Church. Kyle specialises in electrical installations. Just to give you some idea of the level of work that he does, when they were building the new Wembley Stadium in London, Kyle was the man that they sent for to design the electrical system for him. So he kindly has undertaken, he was out on both of those work teams when they were building the toilets. He has a great love for the work in Uganda. He has designed a new system. He took this team out in February in order to completely rewire the school. The wiring that was there was only suitable for solar, couldn't take the mains. So think of rewiring an entire school complex. It'll give you some idea of the work that they're involved in. There's a switchboard that's needed in order to complete the job. He's having that made here. firm of Newton Ards, R&R Engineering, it'll have to be shipped out. They had hoped to go back again, but because of the whole COVID thing, that has been delayed. But when the switchboard is ready and shipped, they're going to take another little team out just to finish the job. So just to give you some idea of the amount of work that they did, you can see that the wires going in. Mr. Foster did a lot of preparation work, putting in conduit piping for them. So there's a lot of wiring that they undertook. They were there for a fortnight and literally worked from dawn to dark in order to rewire the school. And they had a few helpers. The children thought this was great and really wanted to get involved, help put out the cables and so on. So do remember Kyle and that team and the work that he's involved in. That has been a fairly extensive outlay as far as finance has been concerned for us in order to put the electric into the school. This container is additional office facilities. Maybe it doesn't look very much like the office that you work in, but just watch as we go along. There are firms out there that specialise in this. You've maybe seen programmes on the television where people actually live in containers. Well, look, they came along and they cut the doors and the windows. Different people for different jobs. Here's the fellas putting up the frame for the plasterboard, the boy doing the electrical work. Here's the windows being specially made. Oh, and then here's the fellow that's spraying the outside of the container for us. The windows are in, the plasterboard's up. You can see the lights. All the joints have been filled in. The fellow on the right's putting down the tiling on the floor. And then Mr. Foster made some divisions for us to divide it off into three offices. So you can see some of the desks and so on that are moved in. So it's quite a transformation. We needed the extra office space because we're having to move things around a little to satisfy the authorities out there. We needed more space for our dormitories, for our boarding students. There's an occupancy permit that you have to have in order to have boarders, and there's a certain standard that you have to meet. So we had to move things around a little to free up some of the other facilities. This is going to be temporary for us. As I said, we hope to build more facilities in the middle of the school. There's going to have to be a roof go on this, both to keep the sun off and keep the rain as well. So that's still a wee bit of work that we're working on at the present time. New screen and projector. There was no screen, no projector. The Randallstown Church provided these for the school there. We're hoping maybe they're going to open up the churches again soon. So we're hoping maybe to do initially some live streaming or some through Zoom, some of the brethren speaking to the congregation there by translation. So the projector and screen will come, will be a great help for that. School incinerator, Mr. Foster built this special brick to withstand the heat, again required by the authorities out there for the disposing of rubbish. The Ballymoney Church, through the Reverend Park, undertook to build a play park. When Mr. Park was out there, he felt it would be nice for the children to have a little play park, something for them to use during break time and lunch time. So a little team went out from Ballymoney and put that together, and it has been of immense value. The children really thoroughly enjoy the time on the play park. The missionary vehicles. This time last year we had 5 missionaries on the field there. Remember that our brother Mr. Miller and his wife had to come home because of his health. So you can imagine the demands for getting about, particularly in the roads. The road down to the school, the nearest town is Lakaya. It's about maybe 4 miles away. And the 4 mile road is a dirt road the whole way down. So in rainy season that can become quite treacherous. Last year we made an appeal to the churches to buy a second vehicle, and we were overwhelmed by the response, and we're very thankful if you contributed to that vehicle appeal at that particular time. So these vehicles are essential just for the missionaries getting about and all that they have to do. Just to highlight, coronavirus has affected Uganda, not as badly as here. They've had something over 5,000 cases since March. The figure yesterday stood at 60 related deaths. Most of those deaths have been from folk coming over the border from neighbouring countries. The schools have been closed and the church has been closed, the airports too. We got the Fosters out on what was called a repatriation flight. They're very limited. The seats are very limited. They're a wee bit more expensive. But because Mrs. Foster was expecting, we were conscious that we wanted her home before the 32-week period of her pregnancy. What the school has been doing during lockdown, they've been preparing these learning packs, home learning packs, for every child. And they bought workbooks as well, particularly for the younger children. Those were all delivered to their homes. And then the staff have been keeping in touch with all of the children via phone, ringing up to hear how they were, any questions, they needed a wee bit of help. So there's been a lot of academic work that has been continued at home. We've been trying to keep our staff busy even with that. Just to thank you too for the great response that we had to the emergency relief aid appeal that was made by the Reverend Park at the online missionary rally that we had back at Easter. We were able to raise more than twice the amount that we had anticipated. We've been able to give two rounds of aid in many of the countries in which we labour. Back in April, the village area of Nisalu, there's council areas out there as there are here, so Nisalu is one local council area, it's the nearest. About 200 homes, we're able to provide them with food parcels. And then just at the beginning of July, we're able to give a second round, and we included Chimbala, it's the next village. So between the two, there were 600 in the second round. So that's a total of 800 food parcels to families. And the most needy connected with the school have received some additional food a couple of other times as well. So just to let you see, you saw the lorry load of aid. That was only one of the lorry loads that we bought. And it's been divided up, put into bags, little food parcels, different things that will help the families in the area. So you can see quite a bit of work even in the preparation of all of that. And then everybody comes systematically, and they have their name marked off as they get theirs, just in case they thought they might slip in and get a second one and we didn't realise that they had been in before. So you can see folk coming from all directions, folk in varying needs, and most of the people just walking in from a distance, and very, very thankful. Just to emphasise this, as you think of the emergency aid, most folk in Uganda, and it's probably true of many countries in Africa, most people fear starvation more than they fear the virus. They haven't been able to plant as much out there because of all the restrictions back in the spring. They have two harvests. It's quite unique to see that. The fertility of the ground, the equator, the climate at the equator. So they're able to have two seasons. They plant in March, and then they harvest in August, and then they replant and they harvest again in December. But they weren't able to plant as much back in the early part of the year, so they're fearing food shortages later on in the year there. So we're glad to be able to help establish that relationship with the community, Touch Hearts. Gospel literature was given out as well with all of that aid. Preparations have been made for the school coming back. President Museveni has announced that schools can recommence on the 15th of October. So Noreen has been working very hard, putting up all the posters, providing the sanitizers, the hand washing stations. They need to take the temperature of the children with the handheld gun type temperature machine, gun aid, whatever you call the thing. I just can't think of it at the moment. So you can see she's been doing a lot of work. Handheld thermometer, is that the word? So she's been making a lot of preparation there for the school going back again. And we pray that that will go ahead as is planned. They're only bringing back what they call the candidate classes. Candidate classes are those that will be sitting exams or were due to sit exams. Probably for most of the other children, this is going to be seen as a lost year. They will just wait until the school recommences again in February. Just to emphasise, we've also been helping in the local community. We wanted to provide a bore well. I told you they carry water and they carry it so far. And that's true virtually of every home in the area. The only way they get water is taking plastic drums down to the swamp. So we thought we would like to provide a bore well in the Nisalu village, and we made an appeal. And so much money came in that we were able to provide two. In fact, one lady connected with one of our churches gave enough to pay for one of these bore wells herself. So when we were out last November, we had special dedication of them. This is the local chairman unveiling a plaque You can see we're kneeling around the plank just to mark it. You can see the whale. We invited the locals to come. We made it an opportunity for evangelism. The children came down and sang. And we brought a gospel message. So this is the Nassalu bore whale. You can see the children filling up their plastic jerry cans. Mr. Stewart and I were out. They were very keen to see us using it. This raised great excitement. And then Chimbala, the village bore whale. So we did the same thing there. We had an unveiling of a plaque. Invited the locals, many of them Roman Catholics, came along and we had a little service. The idea of that wooden frame is to stop the children breaking the handle. It can nearly become like a plaything, so they pull it up too far and they push it down too far. So that was the idea of placing the wood there. So we have an Emmanuel Church. They have Lord's Day services. We're hoping to recommence those again in a fortnight's time. They're only allowed 70 in the services at any one time. This was last summer when we were out, our brother Alistair Hamilton speaking. Very special day. We reckon there was 450 people packed into the church. It was a great day, great opportunity to preach the gospel. We have a Sunday school in the church. Remember the boarders at the school? They all come, children from the local area as well. Prayer meeting and Bible study on a Tuesday night. If you look closely at the picture, particularly on the left, you can see the dog came into the prayer meeting as well. We preach the gospel to every creature out there in Uganda as well. They do Sunday afternoon local outreach. Our brother Andy Foster, they go out into the community. When you walk up the road from the school, you look to the left and the right. You see many little paths like that that take you off into the bush. And if you follow the path for long enough, you generally come to a house or maybe several houses together. So they follow those little paths, go out and, as you see in the previous picture, just sit down with the folk, get to know them, build up a relationship with them, seek to speak to them about Christ and leave them with some gospel literature. With all of that outreach in mind, and this was really emphasised during the period of the Aid Project, we need more gospel literature in what is called the Luganda language. That's the main language in the area where the school is. It's not the only language. About 8.2 million people speak Luganda in what is called the Ancient Kingdom of Buganda, where our school is situated. So one of the things we got the staff to do during lockdown was to translate literature for us. The Mission Board produced 5 children's tracts a few years ago. Last year they were translated into Swahili. They've now been translated as well into Luganda. And 25,000 of those, 5,000 of each, will be going out a little later in the year. We're thankful to Every Home Crusade for their help. They're providing us with Lugandan John's Gospels and also facilities on one of their containers to ship the literature. Dr. Cairns's New Beginning has been translated over the summer into Luganda as well. One of the teachers, Master Ronald, sent me a little message. We wanted to thank 3 teachers, Masters Ronald, Thomas and Israel, who were responsible for all of this translation work with the assistance of another outside lady. He sent me a little message and said, Mr. Allen, referring to Dr. Cairns, Mr. Allen has written a nice little book. So I'm looking forward to telling Dr. Cairns what they had said. So that has been translated. And this is a picture in Uganda as well. The Pepper Collective, they're doing all the graphics for us that put on the front of it. And we wrote a new adult tract. That is the Lugandan stop sign. So it's based on a story about Mr. Moody, stop trying to save yourself. So remember that literature, if you'd like to contribute to it. We have a large East Africa literature project. You can read about it in the latest Vision magazine, but we're trying to get the word of God out into that community as well. The future vision, we want to plant other churches, establish outreach Sunday schools, children's meetings, commence ladies' outreaches in the community, evangelise in the local prison. There's a prison just a few miles away. And we're looking at the possibility through LTBS as well, in connection with them, of getting onto the radio stations there locally. So I want to say on behalf of the board today a big thank you for all of your support. This is something of what your support has achieved for us out there in the land of Uganda. Let me highlight quickly some future projects. We want to redevelop that. We need more facilities, meeting like assembly halls, offices and so on. We want to redevelop that. We'd like to buy this bit of land Beside the school, we have on this land what they call cabanja out there. That's we have the right to use the land as tenants. We've paid for that for the next 99 years, but we'd like to be able to buy the land. There's a bit of a dispute among the family as to who's the rightful owner, so that is holding that up just a little. We'd like to build a Bible college. George McConnell had a great vision when we went out, first of all, to see a Bible college established there for the whole of East Africa. Bring young people in from all of those countries. Teach them and train them and send them back to their own country to preach the gospel. He has already gathered together 1,000 books to form a library for this Bible college out there in Uganda. And I've emphasised to you, we're doing a lot of work. And Mr. Foster will have to finish some of this when he goes back next year in improving the dormitory facilities. You might be asking, just as I finish, how can you help? And we do need your help. We've emphasised that. We need your prayers, brethren and sisters. There's prayer cards for the school at the doors of the church this morning. Please take those, put them in a prominent place. Remember this work. We need you to pray for God's blessing upon it. Pray for the Ugandan Oversight Committee. We have a lot of responsibility, a lot of time taken from week to week in the running of the school. And we need the Lord to give us wisdom and bless us. Another way that you can help us by giving. We need at least £50,000 a year just to keep the school running. That's not talking about the capital investment, the buildings and so on. Just the running costs. That's about £1,000 a week we need to raise. There's different ways that you can give to the school. You can covenant. Just as you covenant to a missionary, you can covenant to the school. You can do that through the prayer card. We've also little flyers, and you can send, cut off the little piece at the bottom, send it off to the mission board office. Send in a one-off gift. Deputation offerings, like will be taken today, will go to help running the school. And also on the mission board website. Recently they've added a donate button. So if you're up in tech, high tech, you can donate to the mission board to any of our works through the website. We have a sponsorship scheme. You can sponsor a child at Emmanuel, £120 a year. And we have people doing this personally. We have businesses that are sponsoring a number of children, churches, children's meetings, youth fellowship. Maybe you lead some of those works in the church. You'd like to take this in your heart. Sponsor some of the children. We send out a special news sheet. I've only one with me. If you'd like to see this, I can give it to you afterwards. But we send that out to all that sponsor children at Emmanuel on an annual basis. Just to show you quickly, how does sponsorship help? We're able to provide medical care for the boys and girls. The little girl, Blessing, on the left had an infection. The young fellow on the right had tuberculosis. We're able to help with the medication. The little girl in the middle, Daniela, had a brain tumour. We helped her family with medical costs. Sadly, last Monday, Daniela died. Her mum was one of the teachers at the school. So that's a very sad time for the family there. So do remember them. Madam Joyce is Daniela's mum's name. So we've been able to improve the dormitories. Think of all that's required there. Here's Eric and Alistair down in Masaka buying some mattresses, mosquito nets. Even the nationals need to use the mosquito nets, boxes, to keep all of their belongings tidy. We provide personal hygiene products, and that's one of the things we try to teach them about personal hygiene at the school. Improvements in their diet. They like Fridays. They get fruit on a Friday. That's a special day. They now get meat once a week. The staple diet out there is maize meal, poisha, or lugali. They call it, and beans. That's what you get most days for your dinner. So we've been able to improve the diet for them. Sportswear, footwear. Think of all the mucky roads. So they were really pleased to get all these colourful Wellington boots. And a school trip. We took some of the senior children last year on their first ever school trip. This is them visiting the airport at Entebbe. And for some of these children, it was the first time they'd ever been at the beach. We take that so much for granted. Remember, it's a landlocked country, so the only beach is at Lake Victoria. So we took them to the beach. And Madam Noreen was overwhelmed with a number of children that came to the office door the next day just to look in and say, thank you, Madam Noreen, for taking us on that trip. Just to tell you that the local folk told Noreen that if she would stand for council, stand as a councillor, she would be sure to get elected. They're so pleased with all the help that the school and the church has given to the community. So do remember the leaflets, the prayer cards. We'd ask your help to make this known. There's a few extra leaflets. Take those and give them to others that aren't here today. Please make the ministry at Emmanuel Christian School as widely known as possible. And I pray the Lord will challenge all our hearts, and you here this weekend with your missionary Sunday, that the Lord will encourage us to lift up our eyes. With all that's going on in the circumstances internationally, it's very easy to lose our focus. Remember, the focus is the spreading of the gospel, the winning of souls to the very end of the earth. So may the Lord enable us to do that today. Thank you, Mr. Smiley, and I'm sorry it has taken a wee bit longer, maybe, than I had anticipated.
We have been a little bit longer, and we trust that you'll understand that, but we trust the Lord will bless the word and the challenge, and the baskets are there, the separate baskets, of course, for the retiring offering, and the ordinary baskets for your ordinary offerings as you leave, and the literature is there too. We're going to just sing the first two verses of this hymn. We're keeping our seats, and we're singing it softly as Robert plays. We've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. And then after this, we will stand for the closing prayer. Of course, that you've been used to using, and Mr. McMillan and I will go out towards the steps there. Somewhere will be outside. If you need to speak to him, you can speak at a good distance to him if you want to talk to him. There will be a brief meeting of session in the church just as soon as we can get gathered after the service. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us, for thy word. We thank thee for thy servant and all that he has brought to our attention today. And for the work in Uganda, we pray the blessing of God to be upon it, that thou wilt meet every need. And we pray for the blessing of God upon us as we separate this morning. The blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, abiding with you now and forevermore. Amen.